going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Who the hell was that? I know it was on the coming in hotline.
Hey, at least it works.
It does work. It is working here. If that was negative, we do have a positive coming in hotline. Please go right on ahead.
So proud of the Browns today. It's a smart move to trade back. Setting themselves up for today. 2 picks in the second round. Then setting themselves up for next year's with the first round. And getting a quality starter. For once, the smart guys were the smartest guys in the room. Super Bowl! Super Browns!
Forgot the yay at the end. Yeah! 216-474-0092. All right, you want to hear another person here? John Gruden, he spoke yesterday on this. This is courtesy of Barstool Sports. This is what John Gruden had to say.
I think the team you got to be talking about is the Cleveland Browns. I think they fleeced Jacksonville. Yeah. They get the Jaguars' number one pick next year and only move down a few spots. Is that,
They moved down three spots. Yeah. So they got the fifth overall pick this year. Ever.
Gruden said we fleeced him. Audio courtesy of Barstool.
Guys.
Gruden, come on, guys.
Everywhere
Gruden
I'm looking.
We fleeced him.
And I just want to know, listen, I understand, fans, I've been where you've been at. When they did the Julio Jones trade down, I was screaming and yelling. I believe that was the start of me being the negative guy on the Browns. I remember. I came in hot on that one. And so all these years have passed, and it's like, Lima, you and your brethren, you haven't learned the lesson. I'm just telling you right
brethren.
Now, everybody from Mel Kiper, Bill Barnwell, John Middlecoff, you just heard it there, John Gruden. You've got football guys. You've got analytics guys.
Yeah.
They're all saying the same thing. The Browns made the move of the draft. They're all saying it. And they're all saying, what are the Jacksonville Jaguars doing? How many more of those people need to speak up before you say, might have made the right move? Now, is it because they took who they took? Is that what it was? So we'll have that argument. Fine. Yeah. Fine. Mason Graham, if you didn't like the Mason Graham thing, I, guys, running back at that stage at number five.
They're just not going to take him.
That would have made no sense for where the Browns are right now.
Would it not have made any sense?
I don't think so.
Really?
I don't.
I disagree with that. I mean, he's a hell of a running back, and he put up a hell of a lot of yards, and he can at least keep a team honest so you can open up some passing routes in case you do take a quarterback later on in the draft or you want to open things up.
And maybe he's special. Maybe he's special. That was not a commentary on whether he's special or not. I do know this was a loaded running back class, and look who they could get at 33 or who they could get at 36, or even if they trade down a little further out of 33, look at the running backs they could get. I don't know that there's that much of a gap between Genty and them, but I am saying this. It's become the universal sentiment this year around the NFL. Like, running backs are more important maybe than they were a few years ago, but at the same time, do you want to waste a whole running back's workload? And Genty has been put through the ringer the last few years. Do you want to waste that on a team that's probably not going to be good this year? That is something to think about.
Okay, that's fair. But they have, this is the weird thing about them, because they got their guardrails, quote unquote, right? They've clearly changed their guardrails and moved their goalposts. because they didn't care about defensive linemen before. Now they took Mike Hall and they took Mason Graham. I just don't know if they're ever going to do that with running backs. And the reason I don't think they're ever going to do that with running backs, because I don't think they ever truly intend to really fully on pay a running back. And I don't think they want to deal with the fifth year on the rookie option there, which seems to be nuts. But I don't think they want to pay up front for a running back in the first round, because you're going to pay up front for that. So they were more than willing to talk to Nick Chubb back in the day, which wasn't that long ago, but they were willing to talk to Nick Chubb, negotiate a salary, negotiate an extension, and then work with it once he's earned it to them. Now, still, they could go in the second round here tonight and take a running back, and that guy ain't going to be as good as Ashton Jenny. You had Nick Chubb before. Nick Chubb was taken by John. Nick Chubb was not taken by Andrew. Jerome Ford, I think, has been a little bit better than what some people want to say, but Jerome Ford, his name is not Nick Chubb, so we're obviously going to bag on Jerome Ford. There's also Shedeur Sanders that's still there. You want to take Shedeur Sanders?
How about the free fall? So we have been hearing about potential free fall for a long time, and I think a couple things were crystallized last night.
Yeah.
We never know for sure, right? Nobody knew, but I remember I came on after the combine and I'm like, Kenny, I'm getting a bad feeling that the second round stuff was not a smokescreen, that the NFL was viewing him as a second round prospect. And the fact that he was not only not the first quarterback, the second quarterback taken in this draft, but that he dropped all the way to the second round.
What's Peterlin going to do with his jersey?
That's the first thing I was wondering. I was seriously wondering how he was doing. I want to do a wellness check on Peterlin, because I'll give him credit. He wanted him. While I was, I'll admit, at times in this draft, I had kind of danced around because I didn't have a huge conviction, we'll say, until after the combine, where I'm like, man, Shedeur is not a first round grade. As many people as I talked to that I trust around the league, it was becoming apparent that he was not a first round pick. And I'll give Peterlin credit. He was on him. He was on him. He was on him. But the NFL wasn't. And so now that question is, what are you doing at 33? Because I did not think it made a ton of sense after the deal they made yesterday. It didn't make a ton of sense for them to go after a quarterback with one of those early picks today. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Well, you'll find out very quick on the top, at the top of the draft, which, by the way, you got to be listening tonight. We start at 7 p.m. coverage for night two of the NFL draft, and anything can happen at any time. That's why you need to keep it here at 92.3 The Fan, 92.3thefan.com. Take us with you to work on the absolutely positively free Odyssey app, because anything can break at any time at pick number 33 or 36 or 67 or wherever they may be. Because right now, as far as I know, the Browns, and I crossed some things out, they got 33, 36, 67, 94 coming up later on tonight. They still have 94? Do they still have 94? I think
yes,
they still have 94.
That's the Amari Cooper trade.
And then they have 126 instead of 104. That's part of this last trade that they just had with Jacksonville. And then 166 and the rest, you know, those are just add-ons there. So Shedeur, I'm not taking Shedeur.
So this is interesting from you, Kenny.
Projects are projects.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you right now, second round and on, it's just like kids. You are seen and not heard. I don't need to hear about it. Jalen Milroe, you want to go get Jalen Milroe? Even if you want to take Jalen Milroe's 36, right? You take Jalen Milroe, I ain't going to hear nothing about Jalen Milroe. He's going to walk out there in the practice field. I'm going to go, oh my goodness, this guy's a Zeus. And then I'm starting to be sold on the upside.
Yeah, how can Stefanski, how can he gimmick it up? How can he have some fun with this?
I am in no hurry to play Jalen Milroe before he's ready, and let's see Jalen Milroe with that speed. Let's see him with that size. Let's see him. How can we work together now? How can we do this? Tyler Shuck? I can't pick Tyler Shuck out of a lineup. I don't know if I'd recognize him if he punched me right square in the face right now. And I know that he's a grand old man right now, going to be 25, 26 years old, whatever. I don't need to say anything more about him. And we can always say, well, they got Tyler Shuck there, and we'll see what Tyler Shuck can do. Now, we know how Brown seasons go, and they may play before
they'll
their season.
They'll all play. They will all play, yes.
The second you take Shedeur Sanders, that is pounding. The drum is going. The conversation has started. I don't give a damn. I still think it's the same conversation. It cools off a little bit, but I still think it's the same conversation. The guy's a star. His father's a star. Yeah, this is going to be a big deal. So I'm going to just pass. You've told me you're in project mode with the quarterback. Stay in project mode with the quarterback. You want to bring in Jalen Milroe? I know. Because I thought people were going to talk about him in the first round. Yeah, I know. I said that I'd rather play with 10 than Jalen Milroe. I know what I said. But if he's going to be a project, fine, bring in a project. Let's see what you can do with it. Because honestly, a second-round guy and beyond should never affect what but I'm going to do in the first round next year.
So I want to be clear here.
If I need a guy.
Talent-wise, you think if he were anybody else, you think he should be there for the Browns to be under heavy consideration. But because of the aura of him, because of who he is, the off-the-field stuff, and I don't mean that in a bad way. The off-the-field stuff is fine with him. Like, he's not a troublemaker or anything like that personality.
He's done well. He has improved the fortunes of two downtrodden programs,
which we've given him a ton of credit for.
And as we should, he's helped to do that. I don't know if they can handle it. I didn't know if they could handle Travis Hunter. I am still not trusting. There are some people who are absolutely disgusted at what we're saying about this trade earlier last night and telling me that, well, you guys are spinning and putting lipsticks on pigs and all. I go, guys, this doesn't change my trust. I fear what's going to happen. I hate to talk about fear, but let me ask you this. It's almost the same thing with Travis Hunter that I brought up earlier. If you take Travis Hunter, what's going to happen when you start off 1-3? What's going to happen if Denzel Ward goes down and then you have problems in your secondary? That's why I didn't want to trade away Greg Newsome last night. I go, I think I'm still going to get a compensatory pick that's better than anything I can trade. I still need all the guys in the secondary that I could get. I don't need to move on from Greg Newsome. He's not good enough to keep long term, but he's not good enough or he's not bad enough for me to trade right now. I see their offense where they don't have much, and if you take Shedeur Sanders, I think it very quickly becomes the best quarterback on the roster versus the most ready, and that's a road we've been down many, many times, and I'm not going to force it. And again, can you handle the entire cavalcade of craziness that comes with it? Because Dad's going to have his opinions. Dad already has had his opinions. He's going to have his opinions. And again, I think he's used to a shared process. And I wanted to trust that, but I wanted to talk myself into trusting that instead of having to trust myself out of it. But now that we're in the second round, I'm in project mode. Take projects. Go ahead. At quarterback. Now, I don't want to take a project at other positions, but if you want to take a project at a quarterback, fine. Knock yourself out. Ain't my job. 216-474-0092. Andy and Kent, you're next up on the Fan. Hello, Andy. Andy.
Hey, fellas.
Hi.
Hey, fellas. I was born in 1986. I've been a season ticket holder since 1964. And,
wait a minute. You were born in 86 and you were a season ticket holder since 64.
Yes, sir. And for the first time since Jim Brown made his starring role in 100 Rifles, I think we done made the right decision. I was at Len Barker's perfect game.
Okay.
10-cent beer night. And the only mistake that happened last night was I didn't renew my season tickets and go see Journey and do the Charleston down there at Huntington Stadium.
Outstanding. 216-474-00. Coming in hot at 9:45. You can work on that and bring it back later on today. Will in Medina, hello.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Hi, Will.
Listen.
Don't you say the F word. Don't you do it.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I like the trade in the sense like, yeah, it's a great haul. If it was 2 years ago, I would have been super pumped about it. But the fact that we've got guys like Wyatt Taylor, Denzel Ward, and others that are kind of at the end of that contract, at this point, if we're going to hang on and play for the future, then we should have just not signed Garrett and should have signed him too. I don't even want a quarterback now because it looks like they're playing. And maybe they've got the inside track on Manning because of Haslam.
I'm not even going to entertain that right now. The Manning thing. Go ahead.
We had a chance where we could have gotten Hunter, and then now Sanders could have fallen to us. That would have been the most exciting thing for me. And hopefully that would have brought a spark to offense. But at this point, like, I don't even want to take a quarterback. It just doesn't make sense anymore. It's disappointing in this sense, man. I know everybody's excited about picks, but who knows where those picks are going to end up next year, and who knows what it's going to end up bringing to the team. Now we're going to build a team on second and third round picks. I mean, there's no immediate chance to win. I
don't think you're not building the team with second and third round picks. You're building the team what you did last night. You are paying the price for Deshaun Watson being the worst trade in NFL history. I'm sorry to tell you that.
No, you're right, 100%. But we had a chance to kind of put something together and get the team. I would have even got it behind Genty and then bringing a quarterback in and at least having something excited this year. Now it's like, are we destined to kind of punt on this season now? We don't have a quarterback. We don't have a playmaker on offense to bring into the team. We got a defensive tackle. Like, a defensive tackle is what we drafted with the fifth overall pick. Unless this guy turns out to be Aaron Donald, we're going to be disappointed with that pick.
He's not. He is going to give you about 2 sacks this year. I think he's going to create – I'm serious. I'm not being mean. I think he's going to create opportunities for other people. I know that Andrew said that there's a pass rush element. Okay, personally, I think that's lip service. I think that there's a pass rush element to Mike Hall. Obviously, there's a pass rush element to Myles Garrett and hopefully Isaiah McGuire and Oboe Okoronkwo. But I think Mason Graham stuffs runs better. I think he takes double teams better. I think that he's a much better athlete than anybody they've taken in the third or fourth round in Andrew Berry's history. And I think that he is going to hopefully do what they said that they were going to do with guys like Tommy Togiai and Siaki Ika, which are tough names to say because those are third and fourth round picks that were never non-starters anyway, Will. And I hope that he creates opportunities for other people. And guess what? It's going to be hard to defend because I think Ashton Jenny's going to have well over 1,000 yards this year. And I think Travis Hunter is going to be a playmaker. It's going to be a very difficult thing to do.
Agreed. Man, we'll see what happens, I guess, right? And if anything, there's always next year in Cleveland, right? Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, Will. 216-474-0092. I just said it to Will and Medina. I know they're not Hunter. And I'm not going to explain away for the Browns. I think Travis Hunter's going to put up a lot of yards and do a lot of great things. And it's the same thing with Ashton Jenny. And I got a guy who I think is going to be a good, solid defensive tackle for you for the next 10 years. But you give me an extra first-round pick, my hands are tied, guys. I got to do this. You give me an extra second-round pick, my hands are tied, guys. I got to do this. And I'm hoping over the next 10 years that starts to pay off. So I know what I'm going up against, guys. I am not going to say that, long-term, yes. Because I think he's going to have two sacks. I don't know, Lyman was showing me his highlights during the I've seen some of these highlights. I didn't see that package of highlights. Now I'm like, oh my God, look at the motor on this guy. Look how tough this guy is.
We were watching wrestling.
I was calling offensive lineman the B word during the break. Get out of the club. Get out of here. Get out of here. Now I'm starting to get excited about Mason Graham, but it's 2 sacks, 2.5 sacks is going to create opportunities for other people. But I think I know why Lima wanted to make this move, and I think subconsciously, and I think I know why Lima is excited about this move. You, for so long, we've been together for a while, you for so long have played psychiatrist with me, therapist with me. Why do I feel this way? Lima's helped me, and Owen's helped me. I'm going to do it with you. I said before, when you wanted to trade down, I go, Lima has grown as a man here. That is, wanting to trade down and getting more picks, that is a conservative move. That's what the father of children does. That's what a guy who has a mortgage does. And then I thought about it even more. I think there's a part of you that's a little bit guilty right now. Because you were one of the guys thumping your chest for this trade 3 years ago. And they are paying for this trade right now. And this is painful. This is not fun. You are the Dave Ramsey now of picks. You are the Dave Ramsey of football, where you are now rice and beans, beans and rice, defensive tackles, amassing picks, and hopefully it'll work out because you got yourself in some serious debt with Deshaun Watson.
That's right.
You need to get out of it.
It's maxing out that Roth IRA now.
And I think you feel a little bit of guilt here because there's been a lot of people over the last 3 years more than willing to throw that one in your face, myself included.
As well,
I
you should
support that trade.
No, as well, you should. It didn't work out. It turns out to be one of the biggest blunders ever. Obviously, I never thought we would be getting the worst version of any quarterback, let alone a guy that I thought was a top five. And so, you got to take your poison now, or you got to take your medicine, I should say, for all of that. We've done the poison part of it. Now you got to take your medicine.
Let's talk in October. We'll see where that goes.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt that now to get out of that, it doesn't mean double down on a bad trade. It doesn't mean, you know, triple down on an aging roster that's expensive. That would have made no sense. And I know we get callers that are like, I got to sit out another year. Look, if you're under the age of 50, what's another year? I get it if you're in your 70s
telling to the guys in the 70s?
Right. It sucks. It absolutely sucks, although I'm guessing those guys were off the train the minute they got Deshaun Watson to begin with. So in this case, you know, they have to do a responsible thing here. That's why I point out. And just the way, I'm telling you guys, the way that I was hearing them talk about Travis Hunter, I think it was a dead giveaway. I mean, we have the audio. The way that...
Oh, do we have it? You want to play it?
The way that they talked...
Does Kayla have it? I don't want to send her on a goose chase
here. Andrew Berry, the way they talked in recent days about Travis Hunter. I mean, listen to the comparisons, guys. Should have been the ultimate tell for all of you what they were going to do and, more importantly, what they weren't going to do.
He has to play on both sides to be worth that number two pick.
No, I don't see it that way. I think it's a little bit like Ohtani, right, where, you know, when he's playing one side, he's an outstanding player. If he's a pitcher, he's a hitter, he's an outstanding player. You obviously get a unicorn if you use him both ways.
Unicorn. I mean, we say that about Evan Mobley. Defensive player of the year. Congratulations, Evan Mobley. Go ahead.
Comparing him to Ohtani, who is the most electrifying and best, clearly the best player in baseball and maybe history of baseball, considering what he's able to do in this era. Like, that's who we're comparing Hunter to. At no point did I think Hunter was going to be the best player in the NFL. And yeah, he might be really good. And
you didn't think he could be the best all-around player in the NFL at some point?
Well, I just don't see. I think it's a pipe dream. Him playing serious amount of possessions, a serious amount of snaps both ways. Part of it's maybe I'm being unfair to the guy because no one's ever done it, so it's hard for me to be a believer in something I've never seen. Maybe it's why at times I struggle with religion. But in this case, this is going to be incredible. And look, do you care? Let me ask you this. Do you care how good Travis Hunter is if they end up getting that franchise quarterback next year? Do you even care how good Travis Hunter is?
I have to care now. But
do you?
Yeah, hell yeah, I have to care. I can't just turn the mic off and separate myself from the listeners. We have to talk to the listeners every day.
As we know, the Josh Allen trade was a trade up. The Mahomes trade was a trade up. Now they got that ammo. And if they go and trade up next year, or maybe they'll just be bad enough on their own to get the guy they want at number one overall, we'll see. But you never know ahead of time. But you want to make sure that you have all the leverage to do what you need to do in a draft. If they end up doing that next year, then you know what? If Travis Hunter is amazing, I'm not looking back. The quarterback is so much more important. Taking a wide receiver at number two overall,
I think
that's not important.
No, I think you're lying to yourself to some degree here because... Listen, I support this move because of what you get back. I'm steadfast on this. But damn, this isn't where I'm the general manager of the Browns and I can do an interview for 15 minutes and turn the microphones off and then not have to deal with the fans. That's not it. Like, I see a scenario where Dave in Broadview Heights, like when he called in about Baker Mayfield last year and I lost my mind and burst blood vessels in my eyes, I could see another scenario playing out in week three next year, this year. Like, this is an everyday thing. And if the Browns are good, if they get some help tonight, that'll help out. But you and I and Browns fans, we're going to have to deal with this. And there's going to be some
it's going to be rough. Yes.
Coming up here.
I mean, even if Mason Graham is better than you are projecting and you like him.
I do. I really like him.
And I've liked him for a long time. And he's a Michigan guy. For me to like a Michigan guy, yeah, I've been keeping my eyes on him for a long time. But... Even if he's really good, we know they're not going to win a ton of games this year. They're just probably not. So that's going to be thrown in our faces too. But again, the reality is this team was not in position to worry about that a luxury splash player. Like, yeah, you know, the Detroit Lions, when they take Gibbs, they can do that. They were in position. They were in position. They were a loaded team where they had guys in their prime ready to pound. Browns are not that team. Browns are in a tough spot. They're old, expensive, yep. And they don't have a quarterback.
And
the quarterback wasn't in this draft.
You're paying for what it is. And I don't even think that you're really interested in a quarterback right now. I mean, how long do we have the Shedeur Sanders conversation? All of, what, 8 minutes? If that, I'm probably way overestimating that. This is going to be a long-term investment. And the first thing that people are bringing up with, and I hate it because he's a local guy and he's a damn nice man and a good man, is Phil Taylor. And the trade that we've talked about for years, and at time is going to be a flat circle here. And damn it, the Julio Jones. And yeah, you could say, well, what Super Bowl did Julio Jones ever win? Okay, fine, but if we're doing that.
I understand.
But
you didn't want to make that mistake again, and a lot of Browns fans are assuming they've made that mistake
you
again.
You will have to have, it's not just, and this is what puts more pressure on it. It's not just Mason Graham playing well. It doesn't matter. If Mason Graham was taken 15th by the Falcons or whatever, he has to play well. He's a first-round pick, for crying out loud. It's Mason Graham, and what do you do next year? It's Mason Graham, and how does that third-round guy, or maybe second-round guy, probably third-round project, how does that guy work out? But really, what do you do next year to go out and get your quarterback? Do you go, if this is still Andrew Berry, right? And that's an if here. If this is still Andrew Berry, do you go and make that move and move up for any one of those five quarterbacks that we talk about next year? And is that the right move for you? Or are we going to be sitting here in another part of purgatory and all of a sudden I'm getting more gray hair and time's catching up with me? Like, this is big. This is a very big thing. And you are still having to dig out from the terrible situation that we're in right now. It's not about, to me, it's not about cap. You can find ways out of the cap. You know how I feel about the salary cap. This is about the talent that you don't have coming up because you haven't had three first-round picks because you gambled and lost terribly on a guy that really wasn't ever interested in playing for you. Audio courtesy of FanDuel TV. 2-0 series, Tone. 2-0 series.
Yeah, what a game. What a surprising game that looked like it was going to be a total rout. Cavaliers shot insanely well from three-point range, 22 threes in a playoff game, and yet two-point game with about 4.5 minutes to go.
So a lot of people, you start to go, how am I going to explain this away? How is this going to happen? Because it was a 19-point game, and did you think about going to bed?
No, I wanted to see the Magic game, the Magic Celtics game. I was scouting.
How long were you up?
Well, it was on at the same time. Remember, that game started a half hour earlier.
That's right. So you turned over to the Celtics game?
Yeah, I was flipping back and forth.
Okay. Well, I mean, you can watch two things at once with Extend Technologies.
I thought that the way that game was going, normally you hit that many threes, everybody's playing well, everybody's shooting well. I remember when Okoro even hit the three in a corner, I'm like, well, This is about all she wrote. No real reason to sink your teeth into much more. I mean, the Cavs have the benefits. They have all the advantages personnel-wise. They've got the better team. They're deeper. They're better. They have a superstar in Donovan Mitchell, who at that point hadn't really come alive yet. He was the one guy that was kind of inefficient. And then I'm checking in because the Celtics were in trouble. They had Porzingis go down. Remember, they didn't have Tatum. Porzingis was bleeding all over the place. And I'm like, it's going to be a huge night for the Cavs where they could rest all their starters in the fourth and maybe, just maybe, the Magic could pull off the upset in Boston, tie up that series, and really make the Boston Celtics work extra, extra hard. So that was what was on my mind.
That's a hell of a thought that you had right there. A lot of people, I was looking at social media, obviously people were freaking out because it got down to four, got down to a couple of points. It became tense, and I didn't truly believe they could have wasted the game. I didn't truly believe that. But I just refused to let myself. I go, there's no way they collapse when they're up by 19. There's no way that this is going to happen. And it ended up not happening. They ended up taking care of business at the very end. It did get a little bit tight. Donovan Mitchell spoke about that, and we'll talk about him here in a second. Kenny Atkinson, he spoke in the postgame, obviously, as head coaches are wont to do. Kenny had looked at it and said, well, we got some things we need to clean up.
Knew it was going to be a dogfight. I think we missed a ton of shots in that second half. A lot of open shots, I think. But we got to do a better job, right? We can't be a make or miss team. Like, oh, man, we're missing, and now they're grabbing offensive rebounds, and Tyler got loose on us. So we got things to clean up, but really proud of the guys for holding their composure.
What do you think of what Kenny just said?
Yeah, I mean, to me, you can overstate it. I know Kenny's given a very disciplined answer, whatever. They had Donovan Mitchell. I mean, Donovan Mitchell was the difference. Donovan Mitchell came alive. He just decided, as often happens in playoff basketball, superstars got to just make shots. Sometimes you got to force them, too. It's not like a lot of those were in the flow of the offense. They were just come down, shoot a three. We saw LeBron James do that many times. And if they're not going to come out and extend all the way out, regardless of whether you're having a good night or a bad night, because it kind of took him a little bit longer while everybody else was shooting a high percentage, he wasn't. And then in the fourth quarter, he just said, I'm taking over this basketball game. Doesn't matter if they come out and pick me up, if they put a hand up. That doesn't matter if I'm 25 feet, 28 feet.
It was a nice feeling.
I'm just going to take over the basketball game. It's nice to have a guy like that.
I had one person in the comeback in the fourth at Miami was making, send a message to me about, where's our guy? Where's our guy? I'm like, relax. Relax for a second. It's nice to have him on the floor. Now, obviously, against Boston, I don't know if you're going to have that same type of advantage because you got great players over there, but they're bleeding like crazy over there. So that's something that we're going to get into a little bit later. However, Kenny Atkinson went a little bit further in his press conference and was asked a few more questions and talked about taking on Miami and taking that first punch in the first quarter.
I told the guys after the first quarter, I said, that's it. We took the punch. They hit us. They're coming at us hard. They were super physical, super high energy, and we just supported that first quarter. And I thought we kind of held our ground. And I said we just got to do it longer. I felt like 48 minutes we were gonna get them, but it was important to withstand that first blow for them in the first quarter.
The question is for me, well, two things. One, is the series over already? Hold off on that just a moment. Two, did the Cavs need a game like that? For the short term of the series and the long term, seems that Donovan Mitchell thinks they did.
I love the fact that, you know, the game happened like this. I'd much rather this than, you know, win by 20 like we did the other night, back-to-back, especially going into an environment like we are. We had to really find a way as a group. You know, we were up. We did a lot of things positive, did some negative things, and then we responded. You know what I mean? So I think that's just going to help on a night-to-night basis.
What were the first couple of games? The first couple of games against Orlando last year were blowouts, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
we blew their doors off at like 40 the one night.
Did not seem competitive.
So I think he goes back to what that was. I think there's two questions that you and I have to answer right now. One, was this something that was needed? Donovan seems to think it is. Now, is that lip service or is that something that you believe is true? Tell me.
I don't know if it was needed. Obviously, I would have loved if all our guys could have just sat out the fourth quarter rather than having to play. Now, the good news is, I don't think any of them are real banged up. I do know Darius was limping throughout most of the fourth quarter, and he stayed in the game. So if they had to play a game today, you know, would that be trouble? I know, you know, Max Strus had looked like a heating pad on at one point in the fourth quarter before he came back into the game. So, you know, yeah, it would have been nice to just have those guys on the bench and just have a laugher. They didn't, so is it nice that they had a little bit of adversity? Sure, I can understand what he's saying there.
Using the A word again.
Yeah, I was very surprised. I mean, normally you shoot as well as the Cavs do, and that's it. I mean, 22 threes on 49% from the field. In the regular season, that's normally a 30 to 40-point blowout. So the fact that it was even a two-point game, you know, shows you that the Cavs still do have a few weaknesses that teams can go after. Like, that was the surprising part to me, is how the Heat were able, Davion Mitchell and Tyler Hero abused our perimeter defense, which surprised me. I didn't see that as something that I thought, like, normally you know where teams are kind of going to pick you apart. Yeah, every team's going to attack Darius, and the Heat did it really from the start of the game. But the fact that they had that much success to get back into the ball game, you know, that's going to be something for Kenny to definitely get them. Did they fall asleep a little bit? Did the fact that they had the big lead, is that what maybe took over their psyche? Because you see that in a regular season. So many regular season games.
Well, they just end like that.
Well, yeah, you're up big because, you know, it's because of the three-point shot, teams can always get back in it. But again, you outscored Miami from three by 18 points. I think that was a surprise. I think if the Cavs are being honest, they are very surprised that they would shoot. That's as what the Cavs might not have another game in the playoffs where they hit 22 threes.
Yeah, but at the same time,
it's a one possession game in the fourth.
Miami, I know they went cold there in the middle, but I didn't think that they were. I don't think anybody thought that Miami was playing particularly bad. I mean, from the field, I think they were still over 50% for the night. Yeah, they were still over 50% for the night. So I thought Miami was playing good. I just thought for a long stretch that the Cavs were playing far better.
They were.
And then when the Cavs went cold, and boy, did they go cold at the worst time possible, end of the third, into the fourth, that's when Miami was still a warm basketball team, were able to go on a 13-2 run, changed the way that people saw this basketball game, and then were able to get right back in it. Now, there were a couple of situations that I thought could have been cleaned up. I don't know why. Do they trust Evan Mobley down the stretch? Do they trust him down the stretch? Like, there's more questions than answers on that. Do they trust him down the stretch?
Well, trust him is in how, like, they're not going to run.
Because he kind of got taken out of the offense.
They're not going to run a ton of plays. He's not at that stage of his career. Like, when you watch teams like the Denver Nuggets, I mean, 100% of the plays are going to go through one guy.
Jokic,
okay,
yes.
We're not remotely there. Like, even the KG comparisons, like, they're not remotely there yet with Evan. They're not just going to throw the ball into him, wait to see if a double team comes and get an offense. And that's not the way this team is built right now. This team is still going to be, at the end, it's going to be big moments. Donovan Mitchell with the ball. Does somebody come up and set a screen? Do they want a little screen? Do they want a big little screen? Like, how do they want to operate? And then as you get closer to the end of the shot clock, clear out. I'm just going to work.
It was still the typical playoff basketball that is, it's going to turn into clear out. One guy's going to take over, and it's going to become something of a one-on-one basketball game. Davion Mitchell is very impressive. I think a lot of people are getting to know this guy who are Cavs fans. Very impressive in this game. A formidable foe, if you will. The question also is, are you willing to declare the series over? Yeah. I don't think you are.
Oh yeah,
this is it.
Yeah, they don't have the guys. I mean, they need to rely on so much that I don't think they're going to be able to rely on from game to game.
Like, I don't think the series is over.
Oh yeah, I mean they were 12-point favorites in that game. They were 12-point favorites in the opening game. They'll still be favorites on the road in Miami. I still would be kind of surprised at this point if it's not a sweep. I think they took a nice punch there in the fourth. I give credit to Miami for being able to hang in there. But yeah, this series is over. I think you could start to mentally get ready for the Indiana Pacers, most likely.
Are you serious? You think the series is over?
Yeah.
216-474-0092. They gave up a 19-point lead. They did not cover the spread last night. Not that that matters. They still won.
Oh, it mattered to some people.
They gave up a 19. Well, for you and I, it doesn't. They gave up a 19-point lead. I don't think that they nearly coughed it up. I did not think that they were going to choke and lose. But they still gave up that lead. It's still Miami. It's still a smart basketball team. If they had Jimmy Butler, it would be different. But ifs and buts, candy and nuts, and all the other stuff.
Maybe I'd be a little more scared that the series could be prolonged.
Yeah.
But I still said yesterday, before the game, I'm like, even if they had Jimmy Butler, I'd still pick us in probably five or six.
Holy God, you almost made me cuss at you.
The Cavs are way better than the Heat. They were way better all year.
They're really, really, really good. But damn, like, I don't know. I don't think the series is just over.
With that said, I thought the series was well over last year when the Cavs were up 2-0. I was stunned.
So you didn't learn a lesson from last year?
Well, I think the Cavs are way better than they were last year. And this Heat team, I was very surprised they got back into it because in the second quarter, the Heat were playing regular season G League defense.
I agree with.
They were not closing out. They were just giving, like, Max Strus. They weren't even contesting shots. They weren't getting back in transition. They weren't getting loose balls. It was almost very sad to see the Heat culture, you know, go poof.
Listen
like that. And
you.
Then they showed some fight. I will give them credit because Davion Mitchell and Tyler Hero were outplaying Darius and Donovan up until Donovan went ballistic there at the end and scored 17 in the fourth.
All right, 216-474-0092. You agree with Tone? Is the series over? I got to learn from last year. This is a tough team that you're playing. I think that they are better than what... Well, I don't know if they're better than what you faced last year with Orlando. I got to tell you that because that's the team that still had Jalen Suggs and that's the team that had Mo Wagner. But I think I still have to go back to last year and go, man, you beat that team so badly. And I know that this team is better. I understand that. But damn... Series over. I still got to get a win on Saturday. If they get it to 3-0, obviously, on the road, it's like, okay, then that's it. But, damn, I can't bring myself to say, and I'm a positive guy, I can't bring myself to say the series is over. I'm very surprised you're saying this.
Is that a lack of faith in the Cavs because you just haven't seen this team?
It's just me being respectful.
Have a lot of playoff success?
It's just me being respectful to the history. I think that's what it is. I don't want to start shooting my mouth off considering where last year went, where I'm sitting on a cruise ship last year in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico. Yes, congratulations on all my success. But I'm sitting on a cruise ship checking my phone because I'm in international waters and I couldn't get the game, which, by the way, a bunch of other people couldn't get the game, apparently. We'll get into that later on. But I'm furiously checking, and then in the first half I go, oh my God, they're going to lose the series. They're going to lose the series to the Orlando Magic. I cannot freaking believe. And I'm going, well, at least Lima has to deal with all this because I can't even send a tweet, so forget it. To now, they're up 2-0, same thing. They beat up on Miami in game one, even though it was a little tighter than what the final score indicates. They go out to a huge lead in game two. That lead closes to within a possession. And they end up winning. Great win. A good performance. It's playoff basketball. And because it's playoff basketball, no, I cannot say the series is over yet. So I ask you guys, do you guys agree with Tone? 216-474-0092. Is this series over? I'm hearing tough talking Tone. Cavaliers winners last night over the Miami Heat, 121-112. Got very tight there for a moment. Cavs put them away. Is the series over? 216-474-0092. The Cavs take a 2-0 series lead. Lima says yes. I still say no because of the history that happened last year. Yes, I understand that the Cavaliers still ended up winning that series. So I guess after it was 2-0, you could have said that the series was over and that you were ended up being right because, well, you ended up winning the series, the Cavaliers did. But I think considering last year, while this team is better than what it was last year, absolutely, I totally agree. I still have to go by the recent history. And last year is still recent. And the Miami Heat, I think they are a tougher out than what we wanted to think, than what a lot of us wanted to think. I think they played their asses off yesterday. And I got to tell you, I agree with Tone. I think once they got to halftime, like in the second quarter, it just was like, okay, we can't. There's 10 threes here in the second quarter, for the love of God. Like, this is getting ridiculous. And then I think at halftime, you know, how to eat a whale, one bite at a time. And they found the moment where the Cavs went cold. Tyler Hero got hot. Other players got hot, got worked up. I thought that they found themselves an opportunity to jump back in the basketball game. And I still just, it still has to be a game that's played on the road at 1 o'clock on Saturday. So until that happens. Well, that's a conversation for other people because I got on, so I didn't check out social media until the first media timeout, whatever, and I did not realize that a lot of people had the game blacked out yesterday. I'm going to get to Darius Garland's comments here in just a moment, but I did not realize the game. Did you see anybody? Did any of your friends text you that the game was blacked out for a lot of people? Oh, except for Owen. Owen is in Florida right now with his family, and I sent something to the show thread where I said, like, there's a bunch of people there blacked out. They're not able to see it. And when Owen wrote, I'm blacked out, I thought he was going to say, I'm blacked out drunk right now. Cause you know, it's Owen. He likes to have a drink or two, just like the rest of the show. And, he goes, no, I'm blacked out and I have the app. And he was not able to see game two last night.
Yeah. I don't understand that one because if he's out of market, if you have NBA TV, it's a national network. Like people in Florida who have NBA TV, they were able to see the Cavs.
So is it because his phone is local? It's a local number?
Yeah, so I think he would have had to be in a place that had cable.
This is starting to
get. And then had NBA like the old days, which of course is what me and you have. So we had zero problem yesterday being able to see it. So this huge, I mean, I was getting tweets.
You pay through the nose for it, but still.
I mean, I'm getting tweets that Dan Gilbert should be ashamed of himself. And I'm like, I doesn't have anything. If it were up to Dan.
Well, I think he'd open it up for everybody. These are television agreements.
So I didn't understand why people didn't have the game. I guess if you didn't have cable and were just going with the app, you didn't have the game. I don't understand that, how you wouldn't have the game. I thought the whole point of the app was that you would make sure to have all the Cavs games.
Joe Thomas said this would be our Super Bowl scenario. What is it? I'll tell everybody coming up at 7:02. Well, Joe will tell everybody coming up at 7:02 this morning. He was on Zach Gelb's show. Yeah, I didn't see... We're getting to a point here where you're going to have to start to open it up for everybody and see what you can do there because there's so many, like, YouTube TVs all over the place with it. Cable's the only one that's a standard, but you're having people getting rid of cable, which, by the way, if you see all the streaming services are starting to bottleneck just like cable. And that, by the way, is becoming a mess. I don't know if I've told you about ESPN Plus lately. Now, I know that you're on ESPN, so I can't really, I don't want you to say anything. but it is a total mess right now where
different.
I can't find any of the programming that I wanted before. And it's on Disney Plus, except for it's missing a boatload of the library that it had. And I go, okay, but by the time college football season gets here, you better get this figured out. Because I got to see all these games, and I got to be able to see these games later on the way it was on ESPN Plus. However, I heard what Darius Garland said after the game. And I think some of the people who are attacking me right now on social media and saying, Ken, you're being pessimistic. Ken, I'm not being pessimistic. I'm being realistic. I want you to hear Darius Garland after this basketball game and tell me if you change your tune. Because Darius Garland was asked about defending Tyler Hero and taking care of their business and... I'll just let you guys listen to Darius Garland about the future of this future of this series. Go ahead.
What's the key to playing clean basketball like that against a team like that?
Pick on Tyler Hero and take care of the ball. Don't play in tight spaces and pick on their weak defenders. Go at them.
33 points last night, Tyler Hero. Pick on him. Pick on their weak defenders. Did you draw umbrage? You didn't draw umbrage with it.
No,
I don't know if
the
Cavs fan did, but there was a lot of people I saw wincing. You want to say that? You want to say all that? Because I think a lot of people go, well, it's not Darius who has to answer for that. It's Donovan who has to answer for that. Donovan is the leader of the basketball team. Darius is the Robin of the Batman. Like, I don't know why Darius is talking tough when it's like, let Donovan talk tough if anybody's going to talk tough.
Yeah, I don't know if that's Darius letting off some steam because he knows that's every team's game plan. I mean, if you watched the Heat yesterday from possession one, they were attacking mostly Darius. And in the fourth quarter...
So this is his frustration?
Yeah, I don't know. In the fourth quarter, to get back into the game, they were attacking Darius and Max. Those were the two guys. It's not that... You know, some teams will attack Donovan, but Donovan has the strength to kind of hold up. But the Heat were getting whatever they wanted, you know, down the stretch. So I wonder if that is exactly what Darius is doing, kind of projecting, knowing that, yeah, that's what teams do to me, and... That's what we're doing to them. Because Tyler Hero, really, you can pick your spot against the Heat. They do not have much in the way of any perimeter defenders that are fleet of foot. I mean, Mitchell is their closest agitator, but they had to rely on him for offense, Davion Mitchell. So how much more is he going to be able to give you on defense? So I think that's all that is. Probably Darius is like, that's what every team does to me. Well, you know what? We're going to go after guys too.
But naming names, that's okay.
Well, yeah,
that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, I don't know. Look,
because I hear him say that, and I go, "That's one of the main history is my reason." Hearing him say that, I go, "No."
Well, yeah, like if they were playing Boston, is Darius going to say anything like that? Probably not, right? Maybe they'll say Al Horford.
That's a pretty arrogant thing to say.
But the thing is, like, Al Horford's won a lot of battles against Darius.
Yes, he has. But what I'm saying is this is a very arrogant thing to say when you had a team take you 7 last year. And you were still the better basketball team. I thought you were still the better basketball team by far. And yeah, I know, you were a 4 seed taking on a 5. I get all that. That's all fair, guys. But damn it, like, when I hear him say that, it's going, man, the history's not that far. And yeah, I'll tell you what, if Donovan said it, I'd have no problem. Because Donovan did what Donovan does. Donovan saw this game get close, and what did he do last night? All right, fine, I'll do it. Because you saw, he went to the line last night, and I go, there ain't no fear in that guy's eyes. He's going to take this thing back over, and that's it. And you saw that in the fourth quarter. I trust Donovan Mitchell without a shadow of a doubt, especially in this series and certainly in the next series. If Donovan came and said it, we're not having a conversation right now. But because Darius said it, and because... Over the last, what's Darius been in now, 5 years in the NBA? How many times have I had to sit here and defend him amongst the callers last 5 years? I've been a big Darius defender, and now you're saying things, and I'm going, wait a minute, damn it. I defend you at every turn we get. We went through the jaw being wired last year. You lose the weight getting raked across the eyes there, and now we're talking like this. I'm just uncomfortable with it.
Yeah, Darius has been a weak spot in the playoffs up until, you know, he shot the ball incredibly well and looked so poised and confident in game one, which I thought was awesome to see. It is one thing to do it against the Heat. Like, this is not your father's Heat team, right? It's not your uncle's Heat team. It's a very different Heat team, and, you know, it's only going to get harder. But I do like what I've seen from Darius. I know he wasn't the most efficient yesterday, but I do like a little bit of what I've seen. You could tell he's getting more and more... he's understanding who he is in the playoffs. And yeah, again, he wasn't the most efficient yesterday, but I think he looks so much better than he ever has in the playoffs.
Floyd in Cleveland, you're next up on the Fan. Hello, Floyd.
Hey, top of the morning to you, Ken.
Same to you.
Bad morning to the slimy wizard of Bay Village, Lima.
Wow.
But I like I was telling the screener, I'm the hater of the year. And I love what DG's doing. What he's trying to do is put doubt in Tyler Herro's head. Like, yeah, you know, we're picking on you. And now he's like, give me the ball. You know,
you think he's trying to make Tyler Herro play hero ball, and that would isolate everybody else or freeze everybody else out of the offense?
Absolutely. It's the same thing I do for 14U baseball. I see the opposing pitcher on there. It's a 3-2 count. I'm like, he got to throw a strike. He got to throw a strike. If he does, he's going to walk you, kid. Don't worry about
him. Are you saying this out loud in 14U baseball?
Absolutely. Six beers in, and I'm out there.
Oh, my God.
Obviously, I'm kidding.
All right, fellas. Thank you very much for the call. He ain't kidding. I'm not going to get Floyd in trouble. He ain't coaching my kid. I don't care. If he wants to be Buttermaker, he can go ahead and do it. That's a hell of a theory by Floyd, but I just don't think. Do I think that Tyler Herro is going to outduel Donovan Mitchell? No. I just don't want this to be any harder than what it needs to be. You're talking sweep? I'd love to believe you. We'll be together on Saturday. Maybe I'll believe it's a sweep by 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But to say those things, I just don't like the history there, and I'd rather if it were to be said, and if they do believe that in the locker room, I'd rather it come from Donovan Mitchell. Audio courtesy of Guardians TV. You know who that last voice was?
No. Who was that?
It was Joe Flacco.
Oh, yeah. He was in town.
Also courtesy of the Cleveland Browns. Yeah, he went in, signed his – well, I'm sure he signed his contract before, and this was merely ceremonial. And then he went over to the Guardians game. What do you think about that?
Did he throw out the first pitch?
I don't think so. Okay, no, he didn't. He did not throw out the first pitch. I didn't. I was like, did he? I didn't see anything. Okay. He didn't throw out the first pitch.
Is Flacco going to buy a house this time?
No.
You don't think so?
No. He has signed 7 one-year deals. Mm-hmm. I don't think that he's going to buy. I mean, maybe he wants to get a fixer-upper done. Maybe he's going to get a...
Right, good flip.
Yeah, something with good bones.
He could live in one side of the house while they're working on the other. Yeah. He has those subcontractors over every day. You know, someone to talk to, someone to pal around
with. Don't mind his dust. Could talk about all that good stuff. So there you go. Let's not dance around it, because I tell you what, the broadcast last night didn't dance around it. There was an explanation given, because the Guardians won last night 3-2 over the Yankees. They have a chance to sweep them today. At 110.
Sweep of the mighty Yankees.
Yes, in April, which it does matter to me. It does mean something to me. Daryl and I had the closest to a fight we got into yesterday because he's mad at Major League Baseball for putting the Yankees and Red Sox in April here at the stadium, which I'm like, I don't care that there wasn't a lot of Yankees fans or Red Sox fans. Hopefully there won't be in the stadium. That's beside the point.
Wait a second. All the teams have to play all the teams. What did he want? A special?
He wanted it in June. And I go, everybody wants the Yankees in June.
Well, yeah, everybody. God, if it were up to the rest of Major League Baseball, the Yankees would play 162 away games.
I know that that's true. I know that somebody made a documentary about the Yankees and Indians, but it's like everybody considers the Yankees their rival.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody wants to beat them. Everybody who's entrenched in baseball despises the Yankees, and unless they're a Yankee fan.
I know that Major League kind of makes this out to be almost, it's not Yankees Red Sox, but it makes this out to be rivals. It's like, the 50s, they were rivals.
Well, when we were in their division, too. We were in the old AL East.
Yeah, but we were in their division, but we were at the bottom.
Sure.
So, like, in the 70s and in the 80s, both teams weren't really great. But, by the time that the Indians got good, it's the AL East and AL Central, and it's all different. The last time that both teams were really, really good at the same time and they were in the same category was what, 1950?
Well, yeah, that's why the Guardians started to get good is when they moved into the Central, what, 94?
Yeah. So it's whatever. Either way, Guardians won 3-2 yesterday. This is all because we're pussyfooting around the situation. Here's last night, because I was watching closely, and I'm seeing, I go, okay, Hunter Gaddis gets out of here, and I was getting the Marlboro Man memes ready. I was like, all right, smoke him if you got him. And then I looked at Twitter, it's like, oh, Kate Smith's working in the bullpen. Okay, here we go. And they brought out Cade Smith, After Luke Weaver got out of the bottom of the eighth inning, 1-2-3, here came Cade Smith. And they knew there was an elephant in the room. Guardians TV did, and here's their explanation.
Now, I'm sure there are going to be those who are wondering, why isn't Fosse in here? We knew he was down last night. Is this because he hasn't pitched well this year? Is this because he got roughed up by the Yankees in the playoffs last year? I'm guessing it's just a combination of the fact that he pitched 3 days in a row into this series. And the last game on Sunday, he was 30 pitches, I think, at least.
Yes, it was 30.
And I'm thinking it's just back-to-back days off. Like Stephen Vogt said before the game, we're very mindful of the workload and the pitch counts. And you're trying to get through a six-month season, not a couple of weeks in April.
I mean, when you look at it, this is game number 23. You got to give this guy some rest.
And he admitted, we've really leaned on the bullpen a lot.
No question.
And we're in a stretch of, I forget how many days in a row of games. You get a day off Thursday, and then he got 13 in a row after that.
Right. No, it's not because of anything last year or what he's doing this year. If he was ready, he'd be in. But now you need Cade Smith. And if he could get this done like he should, he'll be off tomorrow.
Book it.
Audio courtesy of the Cleveland Guardians or Guardians TV. Cade Smith ended up throwing four pitches in the ninth inning and got out of it, obviously, and got the save, and everything was fine, and they won 3-2. But it led the internet to go crazy. Now, I heard what Rick Manning just said. I'm going to give my thoughts on that here in just a moment. Stephen Vogt was asked about it yesterday and why he selected Cade Smith over Emmanuel Clase in the ninth, the survey says.
We're super thin. We're trying to give guys down days. And, you know, originally the plan was not necessarily to go to Cade. And the way the game went, we felt like we needed to win this one. You know, Clase down again today after 30 pitches on Sunday. We wanted to give him 2 days. And the boys have stepped up. And that's what good bullpens do. They pick each other up.
Went even further, said that they've been taxed in the bullpen.
This bullpen has been taxed early this year, which was not our intent. And these guys take the ball. They don't complain. They get their work in. Our medical staff keeps them on the field. It's definitely a team effort. And I'm just so impressed with these guys day in and day out.
You want me to give my thoughts on all this first, or do you want to have at it?
Well, are you not buying what they're saying? Because I'm buying it. I'm actually buying it.
Damn it!
Sunday.
Fine.
Yes.
I thought we were going to fight. I thought, because I'm like,
no.
Rick
Manning
knows a lot about baseball, and you can hear how emphatic. I'm sorry, Tone. You can hear how emphatic he is. He's like, don't make a big deal of this. Don't you make a big deal of this? And I'm like, all right, I'm going to take Rick Manning's word for it, and I'm going to say that I'm not going to make a big deal about it.
It is obviously something like we are definitely in a wait and see mode with Class A. I don't think anybody could argue otherwise, no matter how confidently they talk about him. Like, yeah, they're worried about him. They're worried about whether he's tipping pitches. They're worried about if there's a mental issue that has led to maybe a mechanical issue or vice versa. You never know, chicken or the egg. In that situation, we know how quickly relievers at any age can lose it, especially closers, especially hard-throwing closers. I think that it is kind of a wait-and-see situation yesterday, and it made sense. Sunday, 30 pitches. I know it's going to be made a big deal, and a lot of people are like, hey, are we on to the next one? You know, it's a very different type of closer if that's the case. You know, Cade Smith is not somebody who gets up to 100. He's somebody that's going to be very comfortable in the 94s, 95s, which is a very different look. And, you know, yesterday got the bottom of the order, you know, the bottom of the Yankees order. You know, wasn't facing Aaron Judge. Obviously, like last year, wasn't facing Soto.
I agree with you. I mean,
very big difference.
Cade Smith did a great job. Yeah. I got to give Hunter Gaddis all the credit in the world. Because anytime Aaron Judge comes up, I got to tell you, I got to give credit where it's due. I get nervous every time he comes up. And anytime he makes contact with the baseball, I get nervous.
Yeah, he was perfect yesterday. So, 4-for-4.
Yeah, so for him to kind of, all right, Aaron Judge is left to a single. Then you get going with everything. You were able to hold it down. I give Hunter Gaddis all the credit in the world. Cade Smith came in, did a great job. There's definitely theories that can go around. One is that, and somebody called in yesterday and said, hey, the Yankees might just be in his head, and Emmanuel Clase's head. Like, that's where it started to unravel last year, which really started to unravel with the Tigers, but they won that game.
The end of the Tiger series.
Yeah. If the Tigers are in his head, then you have a real problem because you're going to see them more than some of the other ones. The Yankees might be in his head. Okay. They wanted to make sure that this thing got taken care of, because anytime you can take something away from the Yankees, because I do believe, and Stephen Vogt can say what he wants, and maybe it's true. Maybe it's true. But there has to be... Maybe it's true that, hey, we'd sit him and everything. If he had 2 days off before that, say he didn't have to come in and pitch on Sunday, on Easter Sunday against the Pirates, maybe it would have brought him out. Maybe that's a possibility because you have to weigh what you're trying to do with confidence,
yeah,
short-term and long-term. Okay, so if he would have, then none of that also matters because I'm thinking you got to give your team, you're playing some good baseball right now, you got to give your team more confidence. You're starting to get that head really above water the way it was last year. There's some good stuff here. So you got to be able to press the right buttons at the right time. But then if you bring in Cade Smith instead of Emmanuel Clase, you're going to get into his head even more. So they seem to be, with the way that Rick Manning said it and with the way that Stephen Vogt said it, it seemed to be that they were telling him before even the game started, like, you are not coming out tonight. So hang out in the bullpen.
Yeah, the only way, the Guardians could have got out ahead of it is if they said before the game, like, he is not available. Now, I know if a game goes 18 innings,
yeah,
you change your mind on that kind of thing, but you're not going to be held to what you said before the game then. So you wonder if the Guardians maybe wish they would have just come out and said before the game, yeah, he is not going to be available unless we have a crazy circumstance, just to avoid exactly this. So, like, me and you are on the same page. But we are representing.
I think we're in the minority.
What people are saying online.
I think we're in the minority. I think we're in the minority of fans. I think we're in the minority of radio show hosts. I mean, I saw some opinions yesterday. They're like, finally, we're off of Emmanuel Clase. I go, he's making $5 million this year.
Well, why would
they
throw
around nickels like?
Well, I don't understand.
What are they called, manhole covers?
Wait,
that's it.
Who is?
They're not.
Who out there is? What is the rush to move on from Clase? You have to explain that one to me.
I think because
you're in first place in the division.
Because everybody's
so
tweeting
all
at me.
All his yips have not cost you in the slightest.
Let me say it. I agree with you. But I think we're trying to avoid the downturn. We're trying because I think this team, with the way a lot of people feel with it, it's almost the same as it was last year. You felt like you were getting away with something when you were winning all these games. That's the way people feel. Like Tanner Bibee was great. But you feel like you're getting away, like you're robbing a bank, and we have to get everything we possibly can before we get out of here because the cops are going to be coming. And eventually, even though that we just won two in a row against the Yankees, here come the Yankees and here come the Orioles and here come, even though the Orioles didn't start off that hot, obviously this year. And then next year, if you get to the World Series, here come the Padres and the Dodgers. Like it feels like you're robbing something, so they don't want the backside to fall, so they don't want to deal with the Clase downturn.
I think that's the wrong way to think.
I think too.
I think you have to exhaust everything, and you haven't exhausted anything. It's April 23rd.
Yes.
You've actually won 10 of the 11 games he's pitched in. Now that's a lot of luck.
I wish we disagreed on this.
Why?
Because it'd just be a lot more fun.
anybody who's like trying to push the pace on getting rid of Class A, then you just. You've ruined your own player. Why would you voluntarily take somebody out and ruin what could be somebody who turns it around? Why would you that's the other part of this. What about him? It's been how many rough patches? What's the length of time where you have been unsure about him?
Two years ago, I was unsure. Last year, I was not unsure until the very end.
Cy Young candidate.
Yeah, he was incredible.
Year.
Yes, he was.
So he had two rough weeks last year. He's had two rough weeks this year.
But if you go back to
it. Do people know how long baseball is?
Well, let's go. But let's take a look at this here. With most guys, and this is where I think fans are at, is that unless you're Rivera, Lee Smith, you get to 2-3 years, and all of a sudden, the wheels are getting real shaky and starting to fall off. Remember, he had 24 saves. He's a little older than I thought he was. I mean, he's still young, but he's been in the league a little longer than I thought he was. He had 24 saves in 2021. Then he had 42, 44, 47. I mean, he's been there for 3 years, really, as the full-time, you're the closer, you're the dude. And I think people are they want to move on before they actually have to move on,
mm-hmm.
Which I think that a lot of people have the Jose Mesa stuff stuck in the back of their mind. But I agree with you. I think it's way too premature. I'm glad that Cade Smith threw four outs yesterday or four pitches and got three outs yesterday. That's fantastic. But if they're up 1-0 today in the top of the ninth, they're going to run Emmanuel Clase out there.
Hell yeah, they will.
And I'll tell you what, they got tomorrow off on Friday night when they play the Red Sox. And if they're up 3-2, they're going to run Emmanuel Clase out there. He's still the closer of this baseball team. And I find it really crazy that when you hear guys like you and me, when we hear Rick Manning being so emphatic about the time that he had, the time that Emmanuel Clase has had, that there were 30 pitches the other night, it seems that they were told before the game, be ready. If we are in this situation, we are putting Cade Smith out there. Now, you can say that they're running the company line, but I don't know whether or not you would just decide to create your own problem when you're winning baseball games. So you're creating your own problem. I don't believe you should do something like that. So they put him out there for the reason of Emmanuel Clase has been used a bunch. That's the reason. And if people don't want to accept that, maybe we'll find out later today. Because if they put out Cade Smith today or somebody else today, well, then I guess we really are going to have our answer. And you and I are going to have to put our tail between our legs. But I'm glad that they won yesterday. Hella glad that they won.
It's awesome. Anytime you beat Mitch's former team, current team,
new
team.
Oh, we talked about that.
Yeah, anytime you do that.
Yeah. He's no longer a Yankee fan. And I just,
is that what he's going with this week?
Well, I decided, you know what? As long as I don't hear any crap from anything else. I did say I want him to burn his stuff, but I really want him to burn everything. So I like fire, so it doesn't matter to me. We decided that he doesn't have to be a Yankee fan anymore. Or is it once you're a Yankee fan, you're always a Yankee fan? A lot of people decided it was once you're a Yankee fan, you're always a Yankee fan.
Well, did he go yesterday?
The poll did not go in my favor.
No, it didn't. But, the poll.
Well, it's got to be hard. So you're seeing Aaron Judge. He's going up there with nobody on base before him, but he goes 4-for-4. If you were truly divorced from the Yankees, you didn't get any warm and fuzzies when he comes up to the plate?
I'm excited when he comes up to the plate, but I want them to retire him every time.
Wait a minute. You're excited? Never mind.
So you guys accomplished nothing while I was
zero.
Gone.
We accomplished zero.
I mean, I didn't even walk you into a trap there.
No, you're not a true Yankee. You're not a true Guardians fan unless you feel nervous or anger when he walks
I felt nervous during the playoffs.
That's ridiculous.
For who?
By the way, Zindiana Jones tweets to me, hope Matt and Rick didn't hurt themselves carrying all that water. Sounded painful.
Oh, boy.
As a person who gets accused of... Meredith's looking at me like, I can't believe you read that. Meredith, I get accused of carrying water all the time.
Oh, I know.
So
I hear
the
accusations all the time.
Yes, see? I agreed with the reasoning. So I guess I'm a water boy. I called Jason the Culligan man for Kevin Stefanski. Here I am. I got my own water pails over me.
Well, I do wonder, and it's going to sound like we're carrying water again.
The water carrying show. Yeah,
you saw where they are in the division, right?
We should be brought to you by Northeast Ohio Regional Sewer District because we're dealing and carrying all this water.
That's a great account. Yeah.
Where are they at in the division? They're first, I imagine.
They're in first place. They have a better record than the Yankees. Do you feel kind of stupid if you're a Guardians? I can't even say fan because I don't even know sometimes. Do you feel kind of stupid in the first 3 weeks of the year?
Stupid strong.
Ripping all things baseball in town. Do you feel kind of stupid right now? They're in first place. They beat the Yankees.
Words.
They have a chance to finish them off with a sweep today. You got to feel a little stupid, don't you?
I'm going to put off that conversation for later.
Hey, I felt Anthony Bennett. Off. I felt stupid. Josh Rosen, I felt stupid.
I'm putting off. You know he's an NBA candidate now? What the hell is Jake's problem? Winning baseball games better than losing baseball games. Why wouldn't you be excited about something like that? I was pretty excited about beating the Yankees last night. I was pretty excited about beating the Pirates.
That had to have been after Emmanuel Clase pitched.
Oh, okay, fine. Speaking of that, I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news. Cade Smith is not the official closer yet. You may be of that opinion that he should be. Do you believe that Cade Smith should be the closer right
now?
Not yet. All right, what's it going to take for you to change your opinion of Emmanuel Clase being the closer?
Another month of this.
I mean, if you add in the offseason, it's already been like 6 months.
Well, my theory is the Yankees broke him.
Oh, that's a comforting thought. Then if he's already broken, then what the hell? Let's put Cade Smith in to fix him.
Well, you got Carl Willis. Give Carl some time to see if they can fix him.
Do you not? So if they're up 3-2 tonight,
I'm a big Carl Willis fan. I think he's phenomenal.
Well, fine. I'm not even going after him about anything. Right. But if they're up 3-2 tonight, are you not putting Emmanuel Clase out there again?
I am.
Because they didn't, he pitched 3 days, so they weren't going to put him out there last night.
You give him the day off last night, and if you're in a safe situation tonight, you put him out there. Absolutely. He's your closer. You have to.
So, you would, okay, so, but you're saying he's broken against the Yankees. The Yankees broke him.
A little tongue-in-cheek, but I mean, you look
at... They don't tongue-in-cheek here. You either say it, Darryl, with your chest, or don't say it at all, then, damn it.
I was pulling a Mitt. That was the inner Mitch in me coming out there.
Well, now you're putting it on Mitch. Mitch didn't have anything to do with this. Darryl had something to do with it. Now, do you think that the Yankees broke him or not?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, you do. So
they figured him out, and so last homestand, the big narrative coming out of the clubhouse was... He's got to make adjustments now. There might be a pattern that's been figured out, and so now Class A has to make some adjustments and change some things up.
Yeah,
when it comes to pitch selection. So, I actually went back because I thought maybe his stuff was too straight. The velocity's there, so that's not broken. He's still throwing just as hard. The problem is bats are running into the baseball when he throws it. So I thought that maybe the stuff was just too straight and true. The cutter wasn't moving like it used to. Fastball wasn't moving. There is still movement there. So maybe there is something to be said for teams have figured out a pattern with him, and now they've got to switch. They've got to switch up the pattern when it comes to pitch selection with him. So another month of it. It's still April. No knee-jerk reactions in April, as far as I'm concerned. Let's get toward the end of May, and if he's out there blowing saves by the end of May, then yeah, I think you've got to do
something.
Does
anybody truly really think that he shouldn't be the closer anymore? Does anybody truly really think that right now?
These are fans, but
I think we're all getting closer to it. But I think the internet's different from real life.
Yeah.
Does anybody truly believe that he shouldn't be the closer anymore? That Cade Smith should be the closer? Because I think if you do this too soon, it could have disastrous results for you. Disastrous. If Cade Smith's not ready, if Andrew Walters isn't ready to be brought up eventually here, I mean, my God, you go to Cade Smith. Who says Cade Smith is ready for an every night closer role? Because remember, I just put Paul Sewald in my bullpen. That's a guy who does have previous experience with it before. And then I have to talk about my boss there. And my boss is not interested in eating $5 million left of the rest of the season in salary. Right. And then another, I think, $6.5 million getting ready for next year as well. The 2 years at $10 million apiece, that ain't ever going to happen. Those are options. So that ain't never going to go down. But this year and next year, if I got a guy who's 100% ready, and I know he's 100% ready, that's easier for me to deal with. But we all know that this is not a team that's interested in wasting a single cent, let alone $6.5 million next year.
The track record, I think, is what helps.
And yes, I know about Miles Straw. Sorry, go ahead, Tom. Darryl.
The fact that the last 3 years, we've become spoiled with him being the most dominant closer in baseball, virtually unhittable at times. He's already given up more earned runs this month than he did the entire season last year, which is obviously alarming. But the track record is there. The organization still believes in him. Carl Willis is still there. And my theory is if Carl Willis can't fix you, you might not be able to be
fixed. And let me ask you another question that has no answer. Does the organization still believe in him?
I think so.
I don't know if they do.
I mean, they.
How could you still fully 100% believe in him?
I'll say this, Ken. Last home, and I can only speak last homestand. I know they went on the road and they're back in town now. Last homestand, it felt like yes, it wasn't lip service. That yes, they believed in him. I wasn't at the ballpark last night, but
his teammates are going to believe in him or try to. But you will reach a time, and this I still say it's premature to not get rid of him. I am not replacing him yet. But it's the same thing as quarterbacks, Darryl. Guys got tired of having to answer whether or not they thought Deshaun Watson was terrible or not. And then they got tired before that of answering whether or not Baker Mayfield was terrible or not.
Right.
It's going to be the same question that they get asked every night. Stephen Kwan asked to answer the question about what's wrong with Emmanuel Clase. Everybody else has to answer the question about what's wrong with Emmanuel Clase. Votes asked the question. Well, Vogt is used to it with everybody, so he doesn't have to worry about that stuff. Antonetti doesn't have to worry about it as much because he doesn't have to talk nearly as much as Stephen Vogt.
Right.
But you cannot tell me that they aren't sitting there going, his velocity's still there.
Yeah.
The some of the pitchers are still working there. What the hell is going wrong with him? Because I don't think that there's a very good answer there. So there's no way on earth they are still 100% completely confident.
Remember, this is a guy that when he was blowing saves in the American League Championship Series was putting pictures on Instagram of all of his
awards.
Yes,
and a game that they ended up winning later on in the game.
I understand.
But no, that's what I'm saying. That's what makes it even worse. You won the game. You won the game. You're defending yourself on the air, on the Instagram.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I want you to put that away. But you can't tell me that they 100%... the biggest homer of the Cleveland Guardians... You're talking to a homer here of everybody. There's no way...
There's
no way on earth that they're... Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. No. After last year, and that it spills into this year, he's looked like his old self, what? One outing this year?
The only thing I'll give
one
you...
One outing?
I think it's fair to say...
That's a high bar. I get that.
Doubt might be creeping in. That's as far as I'll go right now.
I think there is a doubt.
Doubt might be creeping in. I think that's fair to say, but I can't say that they've absolutely lost faith.
There is a doubt, and when you look at the pitchers that they believe that they can fully count on here, I mean, we do not have a lot of pitchers that we can fully count on. Gavin Williams is a pitcher that I think that they want to believe that they can believe in, but I got people at Easter dinner telling me he should be in the bullpen on Sunday, which, boy, I felt good about last night's outing there. Which some people said, I said, I didn't say it. I did not say that about Gavin Williams. I have a relative who said it about Gavin Williams, but they didn't even have the last name Carmen, so I don't want to hear it. Okay, I didn't say that about Gavin Williams. But if you look at where their bullpen is, you'll real quick, how much confidence, before I get to these phones here, 216-474-0092. This isn't even what I plan to do, but here we go. Joey Cantillo. Okay.
All right.
Hunter Gaddis. All right. Tim Herron.
All right.
Jacob Junis. Up and down. Zach Kent's obviously whatever. Luis Ortiz as a starter. Paul Sewald as a closer, as a reliever.
Okay.
Like, you get to okay. It's not the old bullpen mafia what it is. Cade Smith, you have a lot of confidence in him.
It's not what it was last year.
It's not what it was last year. So if I don't believe in my bullpen as much as I did last year, or I did back in the day, then I got to get to my starters. All right, Logan Allen, Tanner Bibee, Ben Lively, Gavin Williams, okay, and Luis Ortiz. I still have faith in Gavin Williams. I still have faith in Tanner Bibee. The other three could go at any time.
Enigmas, yeah.
So I have to have a guy who historically I've been able to count on. And while it's been shaky here recently, I'm not willing to move on from him just yet. Neil in Chagrin Falls. You're next up on the fan. Go ahead, Neil.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I played college ball. I pitched in college, and I've been in this situation before. Watching Class A, obviously never pitch at those stakes, but the doubt is there. The doubt is real, and that's baseball. He's gonna continue to win with his stuff, teetering on the edge. But I am 100% confident if he comes in against the Yankees and blows another save, he will never recover. He's already. What do you have? Two of the biggest blown saves of his career. If he loses one more with the Yankees, he is mentally done. He'll never recover.
Okay, so Neil, let me ask you this: as a guy who played at a high level, much higher level than I ever played, congratulations on all your success. All right, we got two more games against the Yankees this week. We got tomorrow. We got Wednesday. All right, and then we don't play him again until June. So stick with me on this, okay? Do I have to put him out there just to see whether or not? Because I'd rather it happen sooner than later if it's going to happen. If it's going to break him mentally there, I'd rather deal with it now than deal with it later there, Neil, because I don't want to turn this into Jose Mesa again.
I think Vogt will put him out there. I think the way he puts out John Kenzie, he's going to continue to stick with his guys.
Yeah.
I think mentally, I think he has to put him out there, and it's sink or swim time for him. I mean, it's as simple as that.
Neil, I thank you very much for the call. Like, okay, tonight they pitch at 6:10. which you're upset with Major League Baseball, but I don't know why you're upset with Major League Baseball over this, by the way. You're upset because they're in town this week instead of later in the year?
Well, they put the Yankees and Red Sox in back-to-back in April.
Okay.
Why can't you help out your small markets a little bit and split them up? Make sure that you at least get one of them in the summertime.
I think it's the luck of the draw, buddy. I don't think they care.
I understand that, but listen.
I don't think they care.
I know they don't care. That's why I'm mad, because Cleveland they don't care.
Cleveland wants them in the middle of the summertime, and Minnesota wants them in the middle of the summertime.
I mean, that'll be the argument. Everyone wants the Yankees and Red Sox in the summertime.
Yes.
But here's my thing.
What?
Why can't you do a rotation of it? Why can't one year the Yankees are in Cleveland in May? The next year that it's June or July.
That's probably what they try to do, even though it's been...
And do a rotate. No, it feels like the Yankees and Red Sox have been coming to Cleveland in April for the last couple years.
The last couple years. Maybe next year is going to be our year where they're here in June. I don't know. I just want to beat them when we play them. I don't care. I don't care about the Dulles making more money. Why do I care? Why do I care that there's more Yankee fans and Red Sox fans over at Progressive Field?
This is the worst week to have them here.
Okay.
NFL draft week. Cavs are in the playoffs.
But if we beat them, it's the best week to have them here. I'd rather beat them now. It makes me more confident for the rest of the season. This is an early measuring stick series.
I hate the way Major League Baseball does their scheduling.
I'm perfectly fine.
I hate the way they do their marketing. I hate the way they do their TV stuff. I just think that no sport shoots themselves in the foot more than Major League Baseball. And then they want to know why one goes to the ballpark anymore.
Why don't they?
Nobody's watching them on TV. You can't watch them on TV.
They should put them in Sacramento there in the middle of the summer so they can maximize their profits over there in the middle of summer.
And you want to know how pathetic they are? They can't even fill two minor league ballparks. You got two teams playing in minor league ballparks. You can't even fill those.
One is because of a storm. I understand that. One is because of something that can't be helped.
Ken, I understand that, but you still can't fill that ballpark, and it's right next to Raymond James Stadium.
They're a little bit used to that. They should just play the games in Raymond James Stadium then if they wanted a full boat.
Well, hey, the Banana Boys did it.
I'm just going to tell you, I'm only interested in them winning. I do not care. They're going to cry poor anyway, whether or not you get a full stadium of 34,000 or you get 20,000 like you did last night. It doesn't matter to me. And really, I do not need more Yankee fans and Red Sox fans in the ballpark if I'm a Guardians fan.
Do something to help.
I do not care. Their money spends.
Do something to help the gate.
I'll take their money. I do not care about Major League Baseball where they schedule the Yankees.
Oh, so you care that all the Cubs fans showed up for Game 7?
That was the World Series, Daryl, not April in the regular season. It was the World Series. Judas Priest. It wasn't just Game 7. It was the other games as well.